Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:05 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 21st. Well, I thought today I would start off with platinum, because it has been falling persistently since the end of January, came all the way back down to test the December low, and today posted a large upside key reversal. Now, we look at that trend, and it was somewhat oversold in the short term. It was coming back to an area of previous support. There is still the progression of lower rally highs, but the upper dynamic today suggests that at least a rally back up towards the 920 level could be considered the most likely scenario. Then whether it can muster the wherewithal to break the progression of lower rally highs will be seen. But this is certainly encouraging, and most particularly an adage from the chart seminar is that the key to the key is in size. So this was a reasonably large one. Upside follow-through tomorrow would confirm a low of at least near-term significance. Now, when we look at platinum on a weekly basis, we can see clearly that it has been ranging for most of the last 18 months. This is the lower side of that range. There is psychological resistance at $1,000. It is going to have to sustain a move above that level to confirm a return to demand dominance, but we're certainly at the lower side of the range right now, and a rally from 900 to 1,000 is certainly not at all beyond the realms of the possible in here. Gold was off its low in here today and finished out the day relatively unchanged. It's going to have to do more than that. It is at least going to have to push back above $1,300 to confirm a low of near-term significance, and certainly more than that to really confirm support in the region of the trend mean. There is a progression of higher reaction lows, which has been evident since the beginning of 2017. The low in terms of the medium-term downtrend was in late 2015, early 2016, and there's been an upward bias since. If we look at it over the course of the last 6 years, then you have this rounding characteristic, which I continue to believe is a rounding or a saucering base formation, and that the most likely scenario is that we are going to get a break on the upside. But quite when that happens remains to be seen, and gold is going to have to at least sustain a move in a dynamic manner back above the trend mean to reconfirm demand dominance. Silver, on the other hand, has been somewhat firmer. It has been confined to this very narrow range between about $16 and $17 since the beginning of February, and it is firming in within that range once more. A sustained move above 17 would begin to break the downward bias that has been dribbling lower for a year and a half already. But one thing I find particularly interesting with silver is that it has been so incredibly inert. This is completely out of character with what we usually would anticipate for a commodity like silver, which part of the reason that people trade silver is because it's volatile. And it will be volatile again. And I think that this is a base formation. And we do not have absolute confirmation of that fact just yet. Well, what is the thing that everybody is talking about right now? It's bonds. And when we look at the bond market that is at the top of everyone's lips, it's Italy. The Italian bond yield was up another 16 basis points in here today, but this is the highest level we've seen since at least 2015. Any way you cut it, yields in Italian debt are going higher. You now have a populist government. There is a prime minister with absolutely no political experience who has been probably put in place because the leaders of the two populist parties want someone else to blame, and they'll try and use him as a puppet for their own ends. That's not the recipe for a very strong government. They are also talking about issuing mini bonds, and that is, I think, the market is beginning to think of that as a sleight of hand that could be used to circumvent the fiscal rules that the EU has. Italy has lots and lots of debt, and that debt has been hanging around since the 1970s, and it is just a perfect example of the fact that countries do not pay back their debts, they roll it over. And they've been rolling it over for an awfully long time. That doesn't mean that Italy doesn't have wonderful companies. In fact, Italy's companies have succeeded against all odds, considering the environment in which they've been performing domestically. But they are an export powerhouse, and the relative weakness of the euro is certainly in their favor. But the uncertainty about Italy and the role that the new government is going to play in upsetting the bond market is weighing on the stocks, and they have now unwound most of their overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but this is coming back into an area of potential support. And with all of this unfolding for the euro, that has weighed on the euro for much of the last 6 weeks, but the euro is now somewhat oversold in the short term. I've been sent a number of videos. I'm not the only person who decided to start making videos. It seems like everybody's making videos these days. But I watched a number over the weekend, and there was this almost, I think, every single video I watched was saying that the dollar was going to rally in a very dynamic manner. But that's ignoring the fact that the dollar has already rallied in a very dynamic manner. That doesn't mean that it's going to stop. I think the sharp reality is that the size of the Fed's balance sheet is declining, and the pace of the decline is picking up. And that is something that is weighing on the bond market, because the Federal Reserve had been buying bonds hand over fist for years, and now they are reducing the size of their balance sheet. But nonetheless, the yield is a little bit overbought, and the price a little bit oversold in the short term, so we are getting some consolidation around this 3% level. And we also have to think about it in these terms, that the dollar has rallied, the yield is over 3%, that yield at 3% offers a significant premium over yields just about everywhere else, at least in the developed world, and you're getting it in a strong currency. So therefore, that is going to create a bid for the bonds around these levels, and it does hold out the prospect of at least some pause in consolidation in terms of the yield. And when we look at the price, then it is a little bit oversold in the short term, and particularly when we look at it on a weekly basis, there is a short-term oversold condition relative to the trend mean. So I don't think it's beyond the bounds of possibility that over the course of the next few weeks we get some steadying in bond prices. And generally speaking, that's beneficial for the stock market. And the stock market was in positive territory in here today. Perhaps more important is that the S&P 500 has sustained the move back above 2,700 points. It has bounced from the region of the trend mean on three separate occasions, and yes, there is still a downward bias to trading, but as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean on occasional reversions, then people are probably likely to give it the benefit of the doubt. It is the mid-cap sector that is outperforming in no uncertain terms in here, and the Russell 2000 extended its advance in here today. That is a condition that we see a high degree of commonality right around the world. The FTSE 250 is also extending its advance, and we are seeing the return to outperformance of the mid-cap sectors all over the world. The second section index in Japan was in mildly positive territory in here today, but it has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and it has been a clear lead indicator for the wider stock market in Japan for years. And the Nikkei also continues to extend its rebound from the 20,000 level. It is, of course, helped by the fact that the dollar has been resurgent and that it was in additional positive territory in here today, but it wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance. So even here, there is the potential for the dollar to at least begin to pause and to consolidate, that we've already had a large enough move. There is enough bullishness with regard to the dollar over the short term that we know where people are positioned. And what that suggests is that it would require new money to come in to support that trend for it to continue to advance. And I think that there is the potential that we could have gone far enough in the short term. And generally speaking, that's positive for the stock market. Then you also had in here today the at least the pausing of sanctions or trade tariffs against China by the USA. And that has translated into a positive return for the A shares. When we look at the renminbi, then the dollar continues to firm. This looks like a base formation. And when we think about it, that the renminbi spent just about all of 2017 rallying. It has an overbought condition, and at least we can see that the potential for continued dollar rally to unwind that oversold condition, the dollar's oversold condition relative to the trend mean. One of the other points that I think people are beginning to worry about is the fact that you have a number of countries whose currencies are trending lower in a dynamic manner against the dollar, not least because of US dollar denominated debt and an absence of dollars in their coffers. So the Argentine peso is accelerating lower, and the Turkish lira is accelerating lower, and the Venezuelan bolivar is in terminal decline. So these are the problem children of the global economy right now, and there is the potential that we do move towards either a sovereign default type situation, or that they are going to have to introduce very rapid fiscal measures to contain their deficits. I think that's perhaps more likely in Argentina than the other two, but this is a rather taut environment for these respective markets, and it does have the potential to cause some uncertainty within the emerging market bond sector. When we look at the ASEAN sector, then, for example, the Indonesian market is below its trend mean, and it is being led lower by the rupiah. The rupiah has now broken down against the US dollar and done so in a dynamic manner, and that is contributing to the relative weakness of the market. When we look at the Thai market, then it is right in the region of the trend mean, and then when we take a look at the Thai baht, it is also right in the region of the trend mean. So we can see where the potential is. If the currency breaks down, it's going to take the stock market with it. And when we look at the Asia dollar index, it was almost unchanged in here today, but there was a fair amount of volatility. It is right in the region of the trend mean. So we are at a rather pivotal point for the dollar's rally against a significant number of markets. And when we think about the high growth trajectory of the ASEAN region, and the fact that they had benefited from the higher yield, the better currency performance, and the stock market appreciation over the last few years, that the higher yield now on the US dollar, the appreciation of the US dollar, and the relative strength of its markets are acting as a competitor, and most particularly for those international investors. So this is a pivotal period. If the dollar does continue to rally from here, then it is going to contribute to probably medium-term corrective phases for a significant number of the emerging markets. And that is, I think, particularly worth mentioning for India. The rupee is now back testing its lows from 2013 and 2016. And it was in slightly negative territory again in here today. But this is also an area where the rupee has rallied on a number of occasions previously. It will be instructive to tell us just whether it is going to be able to do that on this occasion too. But the Nifty is beginning to show the signs of some selling pressure. That was a clear downward dynamic last week, and now we're seeing some follow-through on that in here this week. So what that suggests is that the 10,000 level had offered an area of support previously. It's going to have to do so again on this occasion if the medium-term upward bias is going to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. And the banking sector is also encountering resistance around this 30,000 level. So that is a lower high now for the banks. So also, when we look at the Indian market over the last 10 years, it is prone to occasional bouts of volatility, and they have universally been buying opportunities. Fortunately, now we're at the upper side of what the market has done is lost momentum after a substantial rally between 2016 and early 2018. It is really for the bulls to prove in here right now, and if the dollar does break out against the rupee, then that is likely to contribute to a medium-term correction for the Indian market. When we take the rupee out of the equation and look at the JP Morgan India Trust, it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and it is now pulling back from that level. This is a significant loss of uptrend consistency. If then look at it on a US dollar basis, the Morgan Stanley India Investment Trust is also trading below its trend mean and, in fact, moved to a new reaction low in here today. Again, this is not a very positive outcome. So we are at a very pivotal point for a significant number of these emerging markets, and this is, I think, opening up the potential that we're going to go into a more corrective phase, potentially similar to what we saw in 2015, the last time there was a scare about US dollar denominated debt and its role in acting as a headwind to emerging markets. What looks increasing, well, I think when I look at the news stories that are coming out, it appears that they have not learned their lessons, that everyone thought the dollar was going to go down indefinitely, and that the quantity of US dollar denominated debt has increased rather than decreased in the emerging markets over the last 3 years. So we are at a higher level right now, and the market has already broken lower, and this is a condition that we're seeing right across the emerging markets. So when we look at what the outlook is for the dollar, it is at a very pivotal period right now, and most particularly that Asia Dollar Index is worth keeping an eye on. Then, when we turn our eye to Europe, the UK and the FTSE 100 broke out to a new recovery high in here today. So this is rather important that it has bounced very emphatically from the 7,000 level. It's been up on consecutive weeks. It is somewhat overbought in the short term, but this is very powerful action, and it does confirm that this is a first step above the long-term range. And because it had been ranging for so long, then I think we can now conclude that the UK is back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term. If we just look at the Europe Stoxx Index, which is 600 shares, it has been ranging in a very prolonged for a very prolonged period below 400. It's currently at 395. So if the euro does continue to weaken from here, then in nominal terms, that's likely to act as a tailwind for those European equities. They do tend to do better when the euro is weaker. So we have a rather different set of scenarios between the emerging markets and Europe or Japan. Europe and Japan rally in nominal terms because people take hedged exposure, and they view it as a competitive advantage. Part of the reason that people are in emerging markets is because they want the yield and the capital appreciation, and they want currency with it. So when the currency starts to deteriorate, it puts pressure on carry trades, and they have to reduce their positions. It's also a view about deflation and inflation in the various markets. But generally speaking, in Europe, when the euro or the pound go down, then that puts upward pressure on nominal prices. So When we look at that euro, it does have the potential for a short-term rally in here, but it would absolutely need to sustain a move above the trend mean to confirm more than simple short-term steadying within the context of a bearish environment overall. Something I was looking at over the weekend as well were some of the old currency charts from the constituents of the euro. So, for example, this is what the Italian lira would look like. And it's currently at 1600 lira to the dollar. But considering what we're getting in terms of the populist movement, they would almost certainly prefer to have a much weaker lira and down towards 1000, which is where it was back in the 1990s. No, I think I've completely read that wrong. Sorry. They would much prefer to have it weaker up there towards 2250, excuse me. What we've seen over the course of the last year has been that the euro has strengthened and has been a headwind for the Italian economy. The populist movement would much prefer to have a much weaker lira and get it all the way back up towards those highs that we saw for the dollar back up in the early or the, sorry the mid 1980s and the early 2000s. And it's a pretty similar story for a significant number of the peripheral countries. We have this rising populist movement right across Europe, and it's been concentrated in the countries that were the biggest victims of the credit crisis. You don't have despite the fact that the Action for Deutschland party have been able to secure seats in the Bundestag, you don't have the same populist movement in Germany that you have elsewhere. And part of the reason for that is because you haven't had the same kind of fiscal tightening there that you've had elsewhere. So the fact that you have had this fiscal tightening, the negative connotations of globalization and what that's done to the manufacturing sectors in a number of these peripheral countries is all weighing, and it represents a risk. The fact is that we didn't have to worry about politics for decades, now we do. And that represents an additional risk premium that is sitting on top of these markets. So what we get in terms of the fact of the ECB and what it does with its balance sheet is going to be rather instructive. We know that Mario Draghi is not going to be in his position a year from now, and what the next central banker is going to do with their balance sheet is very much open to consideration. So far, they have committed to reinvesting their expiring bonds, which is exactly what the Fed was doing before it decided to reduce the size of its balance sheet. Europe is approximately 3 years behind the USA in terms of its monetary policy. So, what that would suggest is that they may end their quantitative easing program later this year, and that is assuming that we get towards September without a major political hiccup, but that the size of their balance sheet will be static for at least the next few years. And that would be rather similar to what we had for the USA. But so far, the US is the only central bank that is reducing the size of its balance sheet, and that represents a medium-term tailwind to yields and to the dollar. But perhaps that is more of a medium-term consideration, whereas the short term is that the dollar has already had a fairly substantial rally and could pause in here right now. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.